Well, today is the last day of our in our prayer series. And I hope that many of you have been inspired to develop a prayer life. How's that going? It's going good. A prayer life that can move mountains. I want to encourage you to go all out while the fire is hot. It's just the law of nature that once we take things off the burner, that they will begin to cool down. The old saying, strike while the fire is hot, is so true, isn't it? When the Holy Spirit moves us, whether it's in a sermon or our own private devotions, we need to act now. Whenever we delay, we'll just begin to cool down. And that's just the way it is. So get started when the Lord speaks to you. So today I want to finish up the prayer series by talking about what hinders our prayers. I think it's an important message. This message is entitled, When God Says No. After I finish my 6 talking points today, they're brief, don't panic. I want to share a personal testimony related to the idea that sometimes God says no. And by the way, no is an answer. It's not always the end of the story. So what is it that limits God's willingness to answer our prayers? The first thing is, it's a lack of relationship. I can't call out to God if I have no relationship with Him and expect Him to respond. I can't walk up to a random stranger and say, "Will you make me lunch?" I can call my wife and ask her to make me a sandwich, and 9 times out of 10, if she's not busy, she will make me that sandwich because we have a relationship. There is trust and there is love that has been developed in the midst of that. If my son calls to me or comes over to the office when I'm busy or right in the middle of something, I'll usually stop what I'm doing to give him my attention. We have a relationship. I know him, and he knows me. Similarly, God answers our calls, and he hears our prayers because of our relationship with him. When we have a relationship with God and call on him, he will listen to us. That's his promise. In Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16, we'll have it on the screen here. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I'm reading out of the NIV. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Aren't those beautiful promises? These verses describe intimacy with the Heavenly Father. And he will answer us. And it's so essential to develop and maintain a consistent prayer life. And that's where relationships develop with God. When those stormy seasons come, and they will come, you will have already been prepared to seek and find God because you know his heart and you know where he can be found. Does God answer cries of desperation even if there is no relationship? Sure he does. He's compassionate. He's kind. But by far and wide, most of our prayers are answered because we have relationship with him. We have relationship with him. And that has been developed in our daily prayer life, in unhurried prayer. The second thing that will hinder prayer is unconfessed sin in our life. I'm speaking, of course, about holiness. Holiness is an essential key to unlocking God's favor and blessings in our life. They go together. And yes, God answers prayers when we're living a holy life and in an obedient life. We live in a culture of so many compromises that we can become easily deceived that just a little sin doesn't matter. After all, everybody's doing it. This is my little lunchbox of sin. Do you remember those little lunchboxes when we were kids in elementary school? Some of you younger guys may not know what I'm talking about. But they were little metal lunchboxes. I think I had a Scooby-Doo lunchbox. And man, it was mine. It was my little lunchbox. And I carried it around everywhere. And every school year, I look forward to getting another one. And we can be like that with sin sometimes. Look at my cute little lunchbox. It's not really hurting anybody. It's my little lunchbox of sin. This is just mine. I like to look at it. I like to open it up and see what's in it from time to time. But when we're talking about getting our prayers answered, we're talking about seeking to live a life that is holy. Those little lunch boxes can contain a rattlesnake just as easy as it can contain any other thing that can kill you. Sin is sin, and the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God." Your iniquities have separated you. "And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that what? He will not hear." He will not hear. In Psalm 55, 18, the psalmist writes, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Regard means to cling or hold on to. If we're practicing sin as a Christian, it will bring our prayer life to a screeching halt. We all sin. And we sin more than we often think we do. But there is a difference between a Christian who sins and a willfully and habitually sinning Christian without remorse or without any plans to stop it. Greg Laurie says that a true Christian should be miserable when he or she is living in sin. But if someone can continue in sin and even plans to sin more without any remorse or pangs of conscience, this would indicate to me that he or she is not a child of God. That's a strong statement. Greg Laurie's been around a little while. I take some stock when the man speaks. And further, he adds, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3, 8 through 9, that the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. Strong words. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is God's holy word that speaks this. So unconfessed sin can hinder our prayers. At this point, you might be thinking, well, I don't want my prayers hindered. Just give me a list of do's and don'ts. Just tell me what to do, Pastor, and what not to do so that I can get my prayers answered. We all like lists, don't we? If that conversation or thought is going on in your head, you're attempting to ask God how you can serve him through religion and empty works. Can everybody say boo? Boo. Serving God is not about compiling a list of do's and don'ts. Serving God and pursuing holiness is about freedom. It's about the fact that all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable or beneficial. We don't need a list of do's and don'ts. Our decisions about whether we sin against God or not should be based on love. We should be motivated toward holiness by love, a love returned to him because he first loved us. And with love in mind, our conversation with ourselves should sound something like this. God, is what I'm putting before my eyes concerning you? Is the way I'm speaking to my wife or my husband honoring to you? Is my relationship with my girlfriend or my boyfriend honoring to you? Or are the choices that we are making dishonoring to you? Is the food I'm putting into my body helping me to love you and honor my body as the temple of the Holy Spirit? Can you see the difference between a list of do's and don'ts versus seeking to love and please God? Do you see that difference? The difference is in the heart. By the way, is your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit deepens, the easier and the more naturally the decisions to love him and honor him through our decisions will come. The third thing that can hinder our prayers is selfishness. In James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." That's selfishness. Did you know that it's possible to pray for the right thing, but with the wrong motives? For example, if you pray, "Lord, use me. I want to be used by you. I want to be someone who speaks out for you." That is a good thing for which to pray, is it not? But ask yourselves why you're praying it. Is it because you want people to notice you and applaud you? You know, it's a very dangerous condition, even in the church. There's so many people want to be in front of others, forgetting that the very stage we're on is not a stage. It's not a platform. It's an altar, really. And the worshipers are the first ones to go before the congregation in sacrifice to the Lord. We have to guard our hearts with motives of why we want to do things, and even in the church. But in God's great wisdom and love, God chooses not to answer prayers pursued with wrong motives. Can you imagine how we would be if God answered our prayers that were coming from our selfish motives? I know even if he answered a tenth of mine, of my wrong motives when I pray, what a mess my life would be. We would all be a mess. God is reminding us through this passage in James that while, yes, asking matters, we need to ask him. And we need to have faith when we ask. But motives matter, perhaps even more. If our request of God to bring forth things in our life, if it opens the door to coveting issues, then we probably should expect those type of prayers to not be answered. Why would God want to bless our sin? I think it's great to pray for things that we need, and yet let God decide how and when and in what measures to give them to us. It helps us to remain humble. Always check your heart for motives and be willing to allow God room to give out in the measure that he deems appropriate. The fourth thing is unforgiveness can hinder our prayers. Allow me to comment on the biblical record by saying, if you're expecting healing, blessings, and other modes of answered prayer and yet have unforgiveness in your hearts towards another person, save your breath. Unforgiveness is one of the biggest hindrances to having any prayers answered by God. Unforgiveness is a deadly anchor that will pull you to the depths of the deepest oceans. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, Mark writes, in verses 25 through 26, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anybody, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, someone may have done a horrible thing to you. We live in a very ugly world, and there's ugly people in this world. But understand that forgiving something isn't just for their sake. It's for your sake, too. As it has been said many times, when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is yourself. Unforgiveness is hurting you, and it's robbing you of answered prayer. The fifth thing is, prayers are hindered by unbelief and doubt. God wants us to have the confidence in his ability and willingness to provide what is necessary in our lives. He's a good father. He wants his children to come to him and ask for things. He wants us to believe that he can and he will do what he says. And when we doubt him or his promises, we will hinder our prayers every time. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, certainly not wisdom, nor anything else. Our prayers cannot be separated from our faith. If we are to ask God for anything, we must ask him with expectancy, believing in our hearts that God can and he will give us what we desire, provided that our desires are really what we need and that it will bring him glory. Lastly, for today, God's sovereignty can bring forth a no to our prayers. When it seems that everything that could hinder our prayers is not in play, we're meeting the conditions of prayer, then we must wait on the Lord to watch him unfold events according to his sovereignty, not what we think is best. Sovereignty means the absolute right to rule. God is sovereign, and if you haven't looked lately, there is no power above him. He reserves and has the right to say yes or no to any request that we make. And I realize that sometimes this can be confusing, especially when it seems that his word says one thing, but our prayer results look different. We've all been there. Everyone sitting in this room has had God say, no, no. We were expecting something different. And God says, no, no. In times like these, we have to rely on what we know about God to be true, and we have to rely on his character. Here are a few things to keep in mind when our prayers aren't being answered like we are expecting or in the timing we want. These are very important. If you could write these down, in a moment of your storm, they'll come back, because we have to remember his character. The first thing is that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. In Numbers 23:19, it reads, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? For hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God cannot lie. If his word says something, then his word is true. And somehow in his sovereignty, he brings forth his word. We don't always understand how he brings it forth, certainly not like we are expecting. But remember this about his character, that he cannot lie. The second thing is that God is faithful, and he watches over his word to perform it. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, it says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. In other translations, it says that he watches over his word to bring it true, to bring it forth. The third thing is that God is good. We need to remember that God is good. In Mark chapter 10, verse 18, it reads that no one is good but one, and that is God. You know, the poor Muslims, I just, help them. Do you know Allah is not good? Do you know that they understand that Allah is not good? In fact, they don't even have assurance of their salvation. They have to, they believe that when they get up there, there's a system of weights. But he has a propensity to say, no eternal life for you. That's why the murdering of other people is, that's why we see so much of it, because they believe that it guarantees that they have eternal life, that in a way it forces Allah's hand. We know Allah to be demonic. We serve a God who is true and a God of love. You ever counted your blessings that we serve a God? The star breathers I mentioned earlier. The one who created everything with a word. The laws of the universe could have looked entirely different than what we're expecting and what we are living in right now. But we serve a God of love. We serve a God that is good. And I thank the Lord often that he is a good God, because it didn't have to be that way. He's God. He could have made everything look completely different than it is right now. But he's good. The fifth thing is, part of God's character and in his sovereignty is that God is bringing good always out of seemingly evil and bad. In Romans chapter 8:28, it reads, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We see the word in love in there. We are thinking about relationship again. So when we keep these things in mind about God, it becomes easier to trust his sovereignty. When he says no, or he says wait, we remember these things. We go, okay, God, I can do this because I know you're good. I know that you're going to bring evil. You're going to bring good out of evil. I know that you cannot lie, and I know that you watch over your word to perform it. So I will trust you in your amazing sovereignty. And we can trust him even if our experiences are saying, I don't know if this is going to turn out like I was hoping. But in those times, our faith must remain steadfast despite our experience. And even when it doesn't seem like he is on the job or listening, we've all been there before. He is. If you haven't seen his best yet, then wait and do not give up on God. Wait on him to finish his work. He is delaying for his reasons that he has chosen not to share with us. But when we walk through it with faith, we're going to be rewarded on the other end of it. I've had to walk through this process personally over the last 3 weeks. You can close your Bibles now and just kind of listen up here. As most of you know, Psalm 91 is my go-to passage for protection against fear, my enemies, sickness, etc. I also lean on other passages, but this is my primary rock. This year, I have not been sick one time. And I was counting recently. I can't even remember. Well, I can remember the last time I was sick, and it was 5 years ago. 5 years ago. You see, when I'm about to get sick, or I get a sore throat, or a headache, or something's coming on me, I apply the word of God when sickness comes. I don't reach for my medicine cabinet first. I reach for my Bible. What does God's word say about sickness? And I declare victory over sickness. And I use the word of God. I wield it as a sword in my life. Every time, I do battle. And I wield God's word and I fight. Because the promises to me are of health and not sickness. 3 weeks ago, I got COVID. As it was coming on, I did what I always do. I reached for God's word and his promises, and I began to fight it. It seemed that I was rounding a corner when things took a turn for the worst. My breathing became labored. The more I prayed and declared God's word, the worse I became, until finally I had to check myself into the hospital. It didn't make much sense. Hellish questions attacked my mind and my spirit. Would God fail me now when I need him the most? Is this sickness unto death? What of my boast in him? What of my boast in his word? I am promised that no evil shall befall me. that no plague will come near my dwelling, that he will deliver me. Despite what I was experiencing, I had to trust in the sovereignty of God. I'm not a baby Christian. I've been walking with God a lot of years. Before going into the hospital, a friend of my wife's called and said that she had a word for us from the Lord. My wife had just sent out the announcement that I had COVID and to pray for us. And one of her friends immediately picked up the phone. Someone not given to words from the Lord. But she felt impressed that she needed to share this with us. The word that she shared with us was reprieve. Reprieve. Like you, I'm probably, what does that mean? How did that fit in with things? We didn't know. Was that even a word from the Lord? We believe that it was. It kind of spoke to our spirit. So I went to emergency, and they said that I had to be admitted for a few days. I had pneumonia. While in the hospital, I described some symptoms and other health issues I had been experiencing recently. The doctors decided to check my blood, and they did something called an A1C test. How many of you are familiar with an A1C test? Unfortunately, probably quite a few. It measures the blood sugar levels over a three-month period and provides an average. The average reveals the overall health of the pancreas. Just to give you an idea of the A1C average, 7 is kind of normal, 7 or below. I was at 10.8. More bad news. Not only did I have COVID and pneumonia, but I was being told that I was a diabetic type 2, to be specific. In fact, my blood sugar levels were so high that they began giving me round-the-clock insulin injections. However, I continued to trust in the sovereignty of God. He must be allowing this, yet he will deliver me somehow. That's his promise. It is his promise. So I waited on him to show me my deliverance. And while I was waiting, both Leon and I began to see the word deliverance coming from at us from preachers and from scripture and from songs. We knew that God was on the move. He was going to do something, but in spite of my experience, he had not delivered me yet. But my trust in his sovereignty remained steadfast. The day after the diabetes revelation, I talked with one of the nurses as we were looking over my blood sugar numbers. She was shaking her head quietly. Finally, she spoke up and she pointed at my t-shirt. I was wearing a t-shirt that I got for Christmas called, it read, hashtag blessed. Hashtag my sister had gotten that for me. Liana decided to pack it in my clothes. Larry and Bonnie Joe, thank you for bringing that bag. Yeah, you play a part in this story here. So I'm wearing my t-shirt, hashtag blessed. And the nurse looked at it and she said, you must be blessed. Someone is watching out for you. This year, you would likely have had a catastrophic stroke or a heart attack or something similar. This COVID probably saved your life. Right then, the Holy Spirit confirmed in my spirit the truth of that statement. I had been given a reprieve. And in that hospital room, in that very moment, God was delivering me. In spite of what my eyes had seen, I knew that I served a sovereign God and that he was going to deliver me somehow. Never in my wildest expectations would I have expected to have the statement made to me, likely this year you would have died from this complication of diabetes you didn't even know he had. God allowed me to go through the COVID to get me to the point where the diabetes was revealed. God is good. God is good and he gave me a reprieve. And even out of the diabetes diagnosis, it's going to turn out to be a blessing, not only for myself, but others. In God's sovereignty, he decides how and when to bring forth his promises. And he will bring them true in some manner. Maybe and often not in the way that we thought or we were expecting, but it doesn't invalidate his word. He is God, and he gets to choose how he performs his word. In those times when it would seem like he's not answering our prayers the way we want or the way we think, what we do is stand firm on the conviction that he is good, that his word is unchanging, and that he is faithful to watch over and perform his word. He is ever watching over his word, and God will bring good out of what the devil has purposed for evil. Because we are children of God and we have a relationship with God that has been developed and nurtured and grown through prayer, through unhurried time with our Father in relationship, building devotion and communion with him. And when we get to know God, we understand and we know that God cannot lie. We sense it in our spirit and we know it in our mind. And the Word says that God cannot lie. And we walk forward in victory. We walk forward in expectation and in faith and in hope. And what the enemy seeks, when the enemy seeks to steal and destroy, God will flip it and bring good out of it according to his purposes. Amen. I could have not gotten through this ordeal spiritually unscathed if I had not been developing a prayer life that created intimacy and trust with Jesus. I remained confident that he had my back and that he would deliver me in spite of what my eyes were seeing. Why? Because I know him. I know him. And only by communing with him at a relational level was I able to trust him during the storm. I want to encourage you. The fire is hot. Get that prayer life going. Grab the feet of Jesus and don't let go. Begin to spend unhurried time with him. And only by communing with him, only by communing with him will your trust be able to grow. I just want to share you a couple little side bits as I end here. I shared Jesus with that nurse that pointed at my shirt. Her dad had committed suicide about 6 years ago and she was hurting. And I looked her square in the eyes and told her she has a Heavenly Father that loved her. I was able to pray with her in my hospital room. And she went out and told other nurses. And other nurses came in. And I was able to tell them about Jesus. I was able to share the love of the Father with them. Not shy about Jesus. When we believe, when we believe and we know it, there's a sincerity that is perceived by another person. That this person believes and knows what they're talking about. And I shared how much Jesus loves them. One of them was an agnostic. I told him, that's okay. That's okay. Jesus loves you and he died for you. And I want to end with this. One of the nurses, guy that lives over here in St. Joe's, he was with me through most of the ordeal. And he was also in charge of discharging me. And by the way, I want to thank you for all your prayers. Because they mattered. Every single one of them that was lifted us up, they mattered. Prayer matters. So he was in charge of discharging me at the hospital. I walked out on my own 2 feet, and he made this comment that I'm the only patient he's ever had during COVID that has ever walked out on their own strength. We know that it wasn't my strength. It was God's strength, and it was the strength of the prayers of the saints. It was the strength of my wrestling and my communing with Jesus Christ day after day where I grew. And I know that God is good. He is faithful to watch over his word. That's the God that we serve. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we serve a good God. That despite our experiences and what we see with our eyes, you are on the scene. You're at work. You're watching over your word to perform it. But Lord, perhaps above all, you desire a relationship with us. You desire conversation, and you desire to share your heart with us and our hearts with you. Father, I pray that everyone that is set under the teaching of this in this prayer series would be motivated to grab you by the feet and not let go, to begin spending unhurried time with you, to be baptized in your Holy Spirit, to experience the manifestation of your presence in their life. God, I pray that you would become very real to those that have only known you from a distance, and that you would tangibly begin moving in their life. Father, we pray for healing throughout this congregation. We pray, Lord, there are those that are carrying very heavy burdens this morning. We pray and lift them up, and we pray as the recipient of their burdens, the reason for their burdens. We pray for healing in their life and in their bodies. We proclaim your word, and we know that you will deliver in your way and in your timing and by your means. Father, we ask that you would increase our faith and that you would help us guard our motives. And if there's any unforgiveness in our lives, you would help us to forgive those that have harmed us and those that have offended us, that we might be set free from the prison of our own creation. Father, we thank you for this day. We ask that you would be with us now, that you would bless our families and bless our health, and that we would walk in the full manifestation of your presence and experience your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Just have a fantastic week. Next week, I'm going to begin a study through the book of 2 Peter. So, I look forward to that and some new revelations by the Lord, see what he would show us in the study of his word. God bless you. Have a great week.